Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call of Abans Holding Limited, hosted by Valorem Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need an assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good evening, everyone, and a warm welcome to you all. My name is Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Abans Holdings Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the earnings call for the fourth quarter of the financial year 2024. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's belief as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements or make any investment decisions. The purpose of today's call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call. We have with us Mr. Abhishek Bansal, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Chintan Mehta, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Nirbhay Vasa, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Ketu Shah, Assistant Vice President. I will now hand it over to Mr. Abhishek Bansal for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Purvangi, for your kind introduction. Good evening, everyone, and thank you all for joining us for our earnings call. Before we get into the financial year 24 financial and operational performance, for the sake of some of you out here who might be joining us for the first time today and might be relatively new to the company, let me start off by giving you a brief overview of the company. We, Abans Holdings Limited, are a diversified financial services company that caters to the whole gamut of financial businesses, such as asset management, financial lending, treasury operations, remittance services, to name a few. Today, we are having a global presence with established operations in India, United Kingdom, Dubai, and Mauritius. We have grown from being a commodity trading company into a diversified multi-asset and a multinational financial services company, which are mainly segmented under agency business, finance business, and capital business. Through our agency business, we offer opportunities in multi-asset global institutional trading in equities, commodities, and currencies. We also offer asset management and investment advisory services, wealth management services to corporate institutions and high net worth individuals. Our finance business offers lending services primarily focused on providing secured and unsecured term financing to individuals and SMEs across India. I would like to extend a warm welcome to all of you as we gather here today to discuss and reflect on our company's FY24 performance and results. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Nirbhay Vasa, who is the CFO of the group, to take you to a deep dive of the financials. What is your nearby?
Thank you, Abhishek. Good evening, everyone. I'm going to give you a brief overview of the financial results of the year ended March 24. Our consolidated revenues are at about 1,378 crores, indicating at 18.5% year-on-year growth. EBITDAs have moved up by 74% on a year-on-year basis to 150 crores. EBITDA margins are at approximately 11% with a growth of 3.5% points increase year on year. Our net profits amounted to 89 crores, marking an approximate increase of 27% on a year on year basis. The PAT margins were closed at 6.5% approximately. The highlight of the results are the assets under management, which have increased from 1,665 crores in March 23 to approximately 2,500 crores in March 24, primarily due to our remarkable performance in our global arbitrage fund housed out of Mauritius, our alternative investment funds, and the acquisition of a renowned PMS called SATCO Growth and Momentum Portfolio during this year. Consequently, due to the strategic focus on the asset management business, the EBIT from this vertical has witnessed a year-on-year increase from 21 crores to 59 crores. We have received approval from SEBI to operate as an investment manager for our alternative investment funds in India. This approval enables us to transform from a holding entity at ABANS Holdings Limited level into an operational entity. Additionally, ABANS Holdings Limited, through its subsidiaries, is taking a strategic step to expand its flagship global arbitrage fund to U.S. markets by initiating the regulatory process. This aim is to give potential investors in the U.S. access to the fund's excellent track record of delivering consistent returns after securing the requisite regulatory approvals. We can now open the floor to questions. Thank you, Valerum. Thank you, Abhishek. And thank you, Purvangi.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Dalpat Mehta from Sun City Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone, and good set of numbers. Congratulations for that.
Thank you.
Company has grown 18%. And the profit after tax has grown by 27%. I would like to know what growth is management expecting for the down the line for 2 years, FY 25-26, and particularly which segment, revenue segment, we feel that there is more potential.
Abhishek, I'll take that question.
Yes, Nirva, you can take it. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for your question. The growth in profits at 27% is correct, and the consolidated revenue has grown at 18%. So just to give you some understanding as to why the profits have grown is because in the last half a decade or so, we were actually putting together the infrastructure to be a successful global asset manager, and all those infrastructure pipelines have now been in place. For example, the alternative investment funds, both domestically and in GIFT. The global arbitrage fund has now shown a trajectory of 10 years, so people are more comfortable investing money in it now. Additionally, the acquisition of the PMS gives us one more asset class where we can ask investors to put money because of our trajectory and performance. So a consistent growth can be seen going forward. Obviously, in terms of where our focus lies in targeting the fee-based business, which is your subscription income, performance fees, as well as advisory fees is what we would be looking at focusing on in the coming 3 years. And if you see the numbers closely, even from our segment results, you'd see that the agency business, which is your fee income-based business, has performed the best in amongst all the segments. I hope I've answered your question.
Yeah, but do we expect the same growth in coming years, at least 30 to 50%?
I would not base it on percentages basis. However, the growth shall be better if our assets under management keep growing the way they are growing. Yes, the fee income will grow accordingly. It is based on our agility also and the way we can raise assets in the future.
No, I can understand that. This will increase. This will not increase the revenue substantially, but the profit will be definitely better because when we are going for more on fee-based income, so that may not look into the revenues part, but in the profit part, it may be visualizing. Second thing, our employees cost has gone from 14 to 40 crores and finance cost from 10 to 50 crores. So can I presume that now the all operations are stabilized and this this will not increase substantially in coming years?
Absolutely. So the employee costs have gone up because of new hiring in different parts of the world, one, and two is due to the ESOPs and the performance incentives that have been given to the people who have been working in this company for a longer duration. So that's why the finance, the employee cost looks on the higher side, and it shall, if not increase in this way, just will increase from an inflation perspective going forward. And the finance cost, yes, because the full-fledged operations are on and because of our certain trading strategies that we apply across the group, the borrowing can be against an instrument like a government security, and hence the finance costs look higher compared to last year.
So our borrowings are at present 929 crores. So yes. Are we comfortable at this level? And second thing mixed with this, do we plan or do we think for any equity dilution in next 12 months?
So the gearing ratio of the company is still low, and also out of the borrowings, at least 70% of them are asset-backed borrowings. So 30% are non-asset-backed borrowings. So yes, we are at, in a comfortable place both in terms of interest coverage ratio as well as debt-equity ratio. But no, there are no plans to dilute equity in the next 12 months because the group is in a comfortable place for growth.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Stuti Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good evening.
Good evening.
So my question was on the side of the interest shown earlier in the commodity ETF side. So basically, in earlier quarter, the management has shown on the ETF side. So have you taken any initiatives on this?
So we are closely connected to the commodities realm in the last couple of decades or so. So we understand the space very well. So how we are connected to ETFs is because ETF also requires the underlying commodity to be in place. So we are suppliers of the gold and silver that the ETF requires as the underlying. So yes, that has been our space for a long time, but the volumes have increased in the current year, hence the interest has peaked, and also have applied for a mutual fund license. So eventually we wish to run our own ETFs.
So approximately till when we can get into this business?
So as soon as our regulatory approvals are in place, we will initiate that business. We've already made the applications to the relevant authorities, both for sponsorship as well as the license, but they're still awaited, and there is no a deal given by them as to when they will accord us the approval.
Okay, got it. And my another question was on the lending operation side. So is there any plan for the company to venture into the sector other than agri commodities for lending operations?
Not as of now. So our understanding of agri commodities lending is has grown over the years. For gold lending, we need certain approvals in place for RBI, so we are not looking at it in the current year. But if we do, eventually we can look at gold lending in the future, but not for the current year. Only for agri commodities is where the interest lies in the current year.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much for the opportunities and congratulations for the numbers.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Dhaval Lapasia from Arihant Transport Company. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sir. So, on standalone basis, company has reported a loss of 6.72 crores for full year. Kindly provide the reason and sources of income to recover the loss, sir.
Yes. So, good question. Avans Holdings, as a standalone entity, has always been a holding company, right? And because of the employee stock options that have been given to about 16 employees in the group who have been part of the group for, since the beginning, that is the primary reason for the P&L of Avans Holdings at standalone level to be on a negative basis or on a loss basis. However, in the current year, Avans Holdings has received the license both from SEBI and from IFSCA to act as an investment manager for both AIFs, which has assets under management of approximately 300 crores. So during the current year, you will see incomes booked from the performance of AIFs and their redemptions. So they will, the P&L will turn positive, and also it will pass on the, it has already done in the last quarter of 2014, they will pass on the costs that of the employees to the subsidiary company employees as well, and hence they will have reimbursement incomes coming in. So in the coming year, this P&L should look positive.
Okay, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Pranav Nagarkar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Good evening. Yep.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity for the question. I have a question from the revenue composition front. So can we anticipate any notable transition of revenue from capital business to finance or agency business, or what would be the revenue composition in coming years?
Okay. So I'll take a couple of minutes to make you understand what the composition is first. So if you've seen the segment note in our results, we primarily divide the business into three categories, which is agency business, internal treasury operations, and lending. Okay, so agency business is your fee income business, which is your performance fees, your subscription fees, advisory fees, brokerage income, etc., where you earn fees. And lending is where your NBFC lends money out and earns interest income. So the internal treasury operations is always the remainder. When I say remainder, is to run agency business and lending business, I will require capital, right? However, because my net book value is high, I will always have capital left out so that I can deploy it to earn money myself. So the internal treasury operations will always be third priority, but I will never let that money be idle. I will always deploy that to earn money, and that's why the internal treasury operations top line is not something as an investor I would suggest to look at, because that's something based on how much capital I have available in the bank during the year is when I would deploy that money actually to earn treasury income. I would focus on my fee income and my interest income, and if anything's left and I don't have opportunities in those space is when I would apply my strategies and earn money in internal treasury. So yes, to answer your question, finally, the focus is always going to be on fee-based income, either through inorganic growth, through strategic alliances, keep focusing on fee-based income and keep building the lending book. So if you see this year, about 55% of the EBIT has come from fee income, and about 20% has come from lending income, and the balance has come from treasury. I see that to continue or even grow slightly every year to become a 75% fee-based earning business.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Vidisha Shetty, a shareholder. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Good evening, sir. My question is, what would be the expected assets under management for the Global Arbitrage Fund in this financial year 25?
So from a trajectory point of view, we have grown from 455 to 800, approximately 800 this year. That is, in terms of percentages, I think we've grown almost 80%. And the way the inflows are coming in this year, I think the same trajectory should continue as long as there are no new geopolitical issues happening, and we should look at this. But however, because it's an arbitrage fund and it's a safe haven, I think people will keep looking at this in such volatile times to invest money in the global arbitrage fund. So I look at 8% dollar term returns is something that we've been delivering consistently since the last 8 years or so. So I think a similar trajectory of growth can be considered.
Okay. Okay, got it. Also, are there any updates on the registration process of the fund in the SEA market?
In which market?
SEA market.
Okay, no. So we are basically trying to get the commodity pool operator license in the USA so that we can get access to funds of US investors for this global arbitrage fund. And if that goes through and we get the regulatory approvals, then in terms of growth, I think we'll see far better numbers in the future.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Basin, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Yes. Good evening.
Yeah. So, sir, my question was, how is the company's remittance business performing and how the company is planning to utilize it as a value chain? Can you share some insight?
Can you just repeat the question? The voice went away for a moment.
Am I audible now?
Yes.
Yeah. So, my question was, sir, how is the company's remittance business performing and how the company is planning to utilize it as a value chain? Can you share some insight or data regarding this?
Absolutely. So the remittance business is housed out of our United Kingdom subsidiary. And this is FCA regulated, which allows us to operate a bank account in which we can house third-party balances through an electronic ledger. And this is the problem that we're trying to solve is because of the time lag between the money transfers from country A to country B. If the entire supply chain of even the commodities business is onboarded with us as clients, the money movement becomes far easier and we have competitive fees that we can charge compared to a bank. So in terms of the growth trajectory, sky is the limit. However, because there are regulatory approvals in place and because KYC of different countries is in different formats, we as a company are looking at it from a bird's eye view right now and trying to make sure that we cover industry by industry, and hence if you've seen that about 5 crores of income this year has come from that entity, and that is new income that we found in the group, and I think that can continue if we keep looking at different industries across the globe and try to understand the regulatory requirements of different regions so that we can replicate this license in different countries.
Okay, sir. Understood. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. We have our next question from the line of Mohammed Danish, a shareholder. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Yes, I just wanted to know, can you give some insight about the tie-up that you have done with SMC Global Taurus Wealth for distribution of financial products?
So, I'll just briefly tell you how the business works. So, we are actually ideators and manufacturers of financial products. We do not have a sales team where we go and sell the product to individual investors and high net worth individuals. So these tie-ups are strategic in nature, whereby they understand the product and they become our sales team, and they approach the audience that they already have available or new audience who is looking for wealth options. And that's what this tie-up actually means. I don't want to get into details of fine print, but this is how the business operates.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsha Agarwal from Choice Equity Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Congratulations for the excellent quarter.
Thank you.
I have four questions all regarding to your Global Arbitrage Opportunities Fund. My first question is, can you please share what is your information ratio since 2020? My second question is, what is your net exposure in Global Arbitrage Fund? And third is, what is its VAR?
Okay, I'll take that question. What was the first question? What is the
information
ratio?
Yeah.
So I don't understand this terminology, the information ratio. So if you could explain me.
Basically, when you pitch to your clients, you tell them what is your Sharpe ratio of the company.
Correct.
So can you at least tell me what's the Sharpe ratio? I'll calculate the information ratio from that.
Yeah. So
is there any benchmark?
Yeah. So in this the probability of the
Sharpe ratio, yeah, Abhishek, it is 3.12.
3.1 is the Sharpe ratio.
3.12.
3.12 in 2024.
Yes. 30th April number.
Okay. And what is your net exposure?
In the Global Arbitrage Fund, the net exposure will be almost zero or close to zero, because it is relying on the fact of arbitraging, buying one commodity or a currency and selling the other of the same value and the same type. So the net exposure of the arbitrage fund has to be close to zero.
It's close to zero.
Yes.
Okay. And what about, can you comment on value at risk? Because it's quite possible that even the spreads would increase. Suppose you have entered in a position where your spreads are hardly, suppose, 10 basis points. Those spreads could increase at any point. So what is your value at risk?
No, so the spreads can increase, but for example, these spreads are fungible and they settle at the same price with the same reference rate at the end of the month.
Okay.
So although they might increase in the interim for a week or so, but they will expire at the same price.
Okay.
So yeah.
And what's your status on your license that you have applied to SEC?
Nirbhay, can you update that, please?
Yes. I just answered that. I said that we are in the process of getting the regulatory approval, both from a commodity pool operator perspective and from a regulation D perspective. So once we have those regulatory approvals in place, we shall be able to access U.S. investor funds.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. So.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. We have our next question from the line of Smith Mehta from MA. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, so first of all, congratulations to the team for delivering such a brilliant result.
Thank you.
My question was regarding the revenue. The revenue has gone down by 50% as compared to the last year.
Last quarter.
So what were the reasons for that?
Okay, So I think in the last investor call also, I tried to explain this, but it's good that you brought it up again. So I just explained the breakup of our income streams, right? Our agency income, lending income, and then capital business income, which is your treasury income. The treasury income piece is based on the availability of surplus cash that are available in the bank during the quarter, and those are deployed either in derivative strategies or in physical commodity strategies. So the top line that you see quarter on quarter, 80% of it represents a buy and sell commodity transaction in the books, which can or cannot happen quarter on quarter. And hence, as an asset manager, if you look at my top lines from a segment point of view, it would give you far more clarity than looking at it from a phase point of view. So if you look at the segment result, it will show you that the top lines from agency business are more or less climbing quarter on quarter. Okay? So it has delivered a 100 crore top line compared to a 43 crore top line last year, which is your agency income, which is your fee-based income. And your lending top line has gone up from 21 crores to about approximately 36 crores. Now, the 1,098 crores and the 1,243 crores is a function of the amount of commodity that you bought and sold during the year. But if there is no spread available, I will not buy and sell such commodities. So I think from a top-line perspective, the growth or the decline in the top-line does not affect the profitability of KBank's holdings.
Okay. And also, I wanted to know the current order book of the company, which sales is yet to be recorded. If you could please share that.
Order book in what context, my friends?
Of the company for which sales is yet to be recorded.
There is we are a financial services enterprise, so we don't have any order book as such. If you are saying that if someone has indented any commodity sale from us, and we have to sell it, there are no such things. Otherwise, they would have been disclosed in the financials as advance from customers.
Acha. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be the last question for today. And I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, Nirbhai, for answering all those questions, and thank you, audiences and guests who have come out there to ask those questions, and thank you all of you for showcasing your the trust and taking your time out for asking these questions. Thank you all, everyone, and thank you, Valrom Advisors, for arranging this con call.
Thank you. On behalf of Abans Holding Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.